Welcome to Grace Bible Church. We're really glad that you are here today. This is an exciting Sunday, a Sunday where we get to reflect on the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ in some unique ways, a day in which we get to hear the gospel proclaimed from the lips of those who have been transformed. And we get to see that symbolized in baptism. And if you are here today for the first time, you picked a great day to visit. You get to see the fruit of what God has done in some lives before you. And we are so thrilled that you're here. If you are here for the first time, make sure that you take a look at the bulletin, and you can be made aware of some of the ministries that are going on here at the church. Also, there is a perforated section at the bottom that we'd love for you to fill out. And if you're visiting here with us for the first time, before you leave, make sure you stop back at the visitor's table, and there will be some people there to greet you and let you know more about the church and answer any questions that you may have. I'm only going to point out one announcement this evening, and it is this. We have a discovery dinner on, I just lost the date, June 10th. And a discovery dinner is an opportunity for you to be at home and have some fantastic food and meet together with people who have been around the church for a while, and you get to ask whatever questions you'd like to ask and find out more about what the church is all about and find out some interesting ways to get plugged in. So if you have never been to a discovery dinner, make sure you put that on your calendar, June 10th, and be a part of that. You can contact the church office for more information about how you can participate in that. In Galatians 2:21, Paul makes a very interesting statement. He says, "I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by law, then Christ died needlessly." The last phrase that Paul says there sounds strange to our ears, that Christ died needlessly. It's a very strong thing that Paul says, and he says there is a way that we can look at the cross that would essentially declare that Jesus died needlessly. Have you thought about the cross lately? Have you thought about what God the Son, Jesus Christ, endured at the cross? Have you considered the physical suffering that Jesus would have endured at the cross? And have you considered the infinite unleashing of the Father's anger against our sin that Jesus endured at the cross? To say that such things could be done needlessly, or to no end, or to no effect, strikes our hearts as something heinous. And yet, Paul says, there is a way to think about the cross and ourselves that would declare that Jesus died needlessly. And it is this: to say that righteousness comes by law. To say that righteousness comes by law. What in the world does that mean? It means this. If I think for one minute that the way that I as a sinner get to heaven is by doing something, going to church, cleaning up my act, being religious, keeping some rules, then I am essentially declaring that Jesus died needlessly. Because Jesus went to the cross to purchase what I could never do, what I could never accomplish, what I didn't even want. And for me to say, I am going to merit God's favor. I am going to be saved. I am going to be rescued from my sinful state. I am going to heaven because I go to church, because I practice some religious duties, or because I get baptized, is to say Christ died for nothing. It's to say that everything that Jesus endured at the cross was for nothing. Well, there are seven people here this evening that want to declare just the opposite. They want to say Jesus did not die needlessly. They want to say to you that Jesus did everything that God requires for me to be with Him. They want to tell you this evening that yes, they were desperate. They were born sinners. They were sinners by nature and sinners by activity. And they were headed toward physical death and eternal destruction in hell. They were headed there. But God, because of His great mercy with which He loved us, rescued these seven from themselves, from their sin, and from His own wrath. And He did it by punishing a substitute, by sending His own Son in the flesh to die on a cross, to endure His anger against their sin so that they could go free. And what they have experienced, all of us who are in Christ have experienced. And we would say this: Jesus did not die needlessly. Jesus died to great effect and has won me to Himself. These seven have trusted in the cross of Jesus Christ. They cling to Jesus Christ. Jesus is their only hope. And they want to tell you all about that. And I'm going to get out of the way really soon and let them do that. I want to tell you, first of all, what they're not doing. They're not being baptized this evening in order to enter Christianity or to do something that merits God's favor or to earn their way to heaven. These things have already been done by Jesus Christ at the cross for them. They do not get baptized in order to become one of us. They are being baptized to declare what has already taken place in their hearts and is being worked out in their lives by God and His grace. They are being baptized to identify publicly with Jesus Christ, to say to all of you and to say to a watching world, I belong to Jesus. And that has already taken place in their lives, but they're saying it publicly here today. They want to say, I am identifying with Jesus and His death. I'm dying. And I am identifying with Jesus in His resurrection. I am walking in newness of life. They want to identify with their Savior publicly. And that's what baptism is about. Baptism is also about their desire to obey Jesus. This is a step of faith and obedience for them, where Jesus has said, be baptized, and they want to be baptized because they love Him. They want to identify with Jesus. They want to be obedient to Jesus. And trust me, they want to boast in Jesus. They want to be baptized because they want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they love Him. He is magnificent. He has rescued them. These seven want to disappear and be invisible before you and let Jesus be magnificent. They want to boast in their Savior. They know that you love them and that you cannot wait to hear what they're about to say. So I'm not going to say any more, and I'm going to ask Derek to come up and tell us what Christ has done for you.
Thank you. So my name is Derek Robinson, and this is my testimony. Romans 3 states that all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Psalms 51 says that we are conceived into sin. Ephesians 2, as you heard Smed speaking about earlier, says that we are sons of disobedience. By nature, we're children of wrath. And that we are dead in our transgressions, headed straight for hell. That's the way that Scripture describes me. But more importantly, that's the way that God actually describes me. That's what God said that I was. Now, of course, I would never would admit that. I would never have said that either. All throughout my life, I was not raised in a Christian home, but somehow, some way, I think probably my godmother, maybe my dad. I heard the gospel when I was younger, growing up, when I was a teenager. I actually would have proclaimed to have been a Christian. If you would have asked me what the gospel was, I could have rattled it off. Jesus Christ, He's Lord and Savior, died on the cross for the sins. He was God, resurrected in 3 days. What else do you need to know? I'm good. And that's exactly how I lived my life. There was a belief, but absolutely no repentance whatsoever. There was absolutely no repentance. The way I saw it was that I believed that Christ did that. I believed that Jesus did that so that I was covered. Through God's grace, I was able to graduate out of high school, being an idiot, doing everything that Ephesians 2 speaks about, everything that Scripture speaks about. He blessed me with being able to go to Greenville College, Christian school, down in southern Illinois. And I got to actually meet a true believer. His name was Scotty Kessler. He's our head coach down in Greenville. Coach Kess was an absolute man that desired nothing more than to please God. He implemented down there what he called biblical football. Every opportunity that he got, he would make sure that he would proclaim Christ as being his Lord and Savior. He wasn't going to yell and cuss at the kids. He wanted to, one of his big sayings was that he wanted to make boys into men. He wanted to see us 50 years down the road and see that we weren't in jail and beating our wife and kids. That was his goal. So he came in the very first year that I got there. He mentored me for about a year and a half. And throughout that entire time, he would continually point out, Derek, you're a sinner. Derek, you're a sinner. Derek, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, took your sins, took the wrath of God so that you wouldn't have to. It took a year and a half for that to finally click. And by God's grace, he finally opened my eyes, pierced my heart. He revealed to me that I actually was the sinner. He actually showed me. He was just like Derek, you know, Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't for everyone else's sins. It was yours. It was 4 years ago, when God revealed that truth to me, that I was the sinner, that I was the one that crucified Christ, that all my sin was put on display up there at the cross. I just needed to actually own up to it and admit it, that it was me and it was my sin for everyone else to see. So 4 years ago was actually when a heart changed. The repentance actually took place. God showed his love to me by pointing strictly to his cross, to his son that he sent, that died on my behalf. And I repented and I believed. So that was 4 years ago. My testimony is one of 6 months, 2 weeks today. That I have to continually repent. Believe and remember that Jesus Christ was the one who bore my sins, that took God's wrath. For me. Through his grace and the Holy Spirit, he renewed my heart. I have new desires. He's made it possible for me to walk in newness of life, as Smed was speaking about before. Because I was buried and I was crucified with Christ. Obviously not literally, but figuratively. My heart died with Christ All my desires died with Christ. So that just as we've been speaking about through Romans 6, sin is no longer master over me, but Christ who lives within me. And so today I'm here to boast about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to be baptized to identify with that death that only He could endure for sinners. And that's my testimony.
Amen. If you know Derek, he's a man who lives at the cross. And if you've had conversation with him, it pretty quickly gets to Jesus. So I praise God for Coach Kessler. And I praise God for Derek. Alyssa, why don't you come up and tell us what Jesus has done for you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Lissa Booker. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about Christians being chosen by God to be saved through belief in the truth. And I'm here because God, in His mercy, chose me. He changed my heart, giving me faith to believe His gospel, that Christ died for my sins. Before, I had no hope of justification, but now my hope lies completely in Christ, and so I am secure. I am a new creation, and I am able to live a life that glorifies God. I grew up in the Lutheran Church and heard the gospel at a young age. My understanding, though, of how to live a life that glorifies God came at Carroll College, where I met students my own age who prayed, read the Bible, encouraged me. And then God continued His sanctifying work at Washington State, where I was involved in different campus ministries, and I was discipled by mature believers. Now God works mightily through His church, and especially through my husband, Dan, who daily encourages me to look to Christ and to hope only in Him.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate that.
Can you get that?
Thank you. Stacy, why don't you come tell us what Christ has done for you?
I should. All right. My name is Stacy Houck, and this is my testimony.
It's all right. Take your time.
Okay, I can see. Every day I woke up, I felt like something was missing. No matter what I did or didn't do, I was unhappy. It is a feeling that is just indescribable. I tried many things, some of which I am not proud of, to try and fill this void that I felt, but all to no avail. I had numerous conversations with Stacy and Rebecca regarding this, and they encouraged me to come to grace. They explained that God was the only one that could fill this emptiness that I was feeling. After my first visit, I knew that this is what I was missing. Every time I open my Bible and read about our loving God, I am amazed. I have learned many exciting truths about Him and what He has done for all of us. He sacrificed His only Son to satisfy the wrath that we deserve. He truly does love us. In light of this newfound knowledge, I want to live a life that is pleasing to Him. I want to strive to be more like Him. I want to spread this wonderful and exciting news about our loving God. He gave me a second chance, and I want others to experience this as well. I am here to be baptized because I want to identify with Christ, obey, and boast in my Savior.
We praise God for good friends like Stacy and Rebecca. And we praise God for you, Stacy. Thank you. Danny, come tell us what God has done in your life, brother.
My name is Danny Galt, and for over a decade, I battled with deep-seated depression and anxiety, and I feared death. And it influenced my actions and my decisions, and some days I wasn't even able to leave my house because of the weight of these fears. This was a ruling fear. It was a pain that dwelled deep in my mind, and no matter what I did, I couldn't break its hold on me. I was at a place so far below rock bottom, and it didn't matter what I bought, what I drank, or who I surrounded myself with. Nothing filled this very empty void that was just present in my life, and finally, I chose to put my whole heart and hope into someone else, just one other person to fix all these things. And that failed more miserably than anything else I had tried before. And it was only through this fear and loneliness and doubt and all this letdown that I was able to feel the quiet tug of the Holy Spirit at my heart. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Through this church, I was able to learn of my sin and the only saving grace that comes through Christ's sacrifice. And through the support of my small group, I was able to grow in the Word. And through my own prayers, the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. And the night I surrendered my life to Christ and allowed Him to rule in me, the fear and the doubt and the depression and the anxiety that had been present for all those years was stripped from me that night. And I knew that my life was hidden away with Him, and then I had peace and I had a quiet mind. And I'm going to be baptized because it's now my new mission and joy to have God's grace shine through my life as I glorify Him for saving me when all I deserved was death and His judgment.
Again, we praise God for the instruments that He used in your life, David. Benu, come tell us what God has done.
My name is Benu Jacob, and I wanted to share my testimony. I also grew up in a Christian environment. I went to the church regularly and grew up in a Christian school. But so I learned, I knew that God created the world and Jesus was here and He was dead and risen. And I also knew about the gospel. But my belief that was that I have to keep doing enough good things in order to be saved and to be called as God's children. But as I started, growing up, I started realizing that it's not really possible for me to keep that track like that because I was losing hope that because I was doing so much sin, there's no way I will have enough good deeds in my book. So that way I will go to heaven or be called as God's children. So I started losing that hope, and I kind of wandered away from church or any thoughts of spirituality. I avoided any such topic about discussing spirituality or why are we here or where are we going. And then I came here 8 years ago, and then I met my friend Jason over here. So he was very, you know, like he, today many people say that you should not bring up religion if you want to be friends with somebody, but he was not shy or bold, and he was bold to ask and bring up the topic of religion and spirituality in with me. So he started asking me questions like, but then what do you believe in, you know? So, and then he and his wife and a couple of other friends brought me a study Bible and encouraged me to read. And I started in reading the Gospel of John. And I wanted to share some verses here. It is John 1, verses 6 to 9. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So these words intrigued me so much. I wanted to know who is that light that these verses are speaking about. And then I started reading more, and I started coming to the church, and I joined my small group. And then over a period of time, I was my mind was opened up to the understanding. And then I learned why Jesus was here, that he was here to die for myself, so I don't have to worry about all the sins that I did. And then instead, I'm forgiven, and I just trust in him because he has died for me. And that was a big, that was the big revelation in my life. And that way, I started to I denounce I started repenting my sins, and denounce it, and then that brought new meaning and made me joyful in my everyday life. So today I'm getting baptized today because I want to share my story and say, and I want to declare that I want to obey and glorify God in my daily life, and I want to identify with Jesus and boast in him.
Maybe the second, maybe the third time I've heard that, and I'm always captivated when Benu talks about the hopelessness of trying to achieve God's favor through piling up enough good works. And I don't remember how much time was involved, Benu, between when you turned your back on spirituality and then when you began to hear the gospel. How long was that?
It was probably
12 years. 12 years, where Benu said that he realized he couldn't be good enough to meet God's standard and just gave up. And then came here, met some sweet friends who shared the gospel with him and continue to share the gospel with him. And God opened his heart to that. Thanks for sharing. And now we'd love to hear from your wife. Amy, come tell us what God has done for you.
My name is Amy Jacob. I grew up in the church, but it wasn't until I was in high school that I started to recognize a great divide between myself and God because of my sin. This recognition of sin in my life is revealed to me through the laws of God, and I thought that the only way to overcome the sin was to obey the law and ultimately become a good person. I remember having a feeling of great desperation when I realized that being good was impossible, and I remember praying every day that God would accept me the way I was. Through the next few years of my life, God revealed himself to me in a life-transforming way. He uncovered my eyes to the fact that on my own, I could never be good enough, and that he couldn't accept me the way I was. that I needed a Savior to take my place. I needed the justification Jesus gave by dying on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast." I'm continuing to live my life through this grace and the power that only the Lord can provide. I'm here to be baptized because I want to identify myself with Christ and what he's done in my life.
And Mary, we'd love to hear what God has done in your life.
Hi, I'm Mary. A little over 3 years ago, God graciously opened my heart to hear his word. While trying to cope with the loss of loved ones in my life, God afforded me opportunities to hear the gospel, changing and humbling me as I learned how great and awesome my God is, and convicting me of my sinful, godless life. I believed myself a good person, but God made me see the self-righteous idolater within me. I looked for confirmation of the person I was in the eyes of other people, resulting in a depth of emptiness. But God showed me that I was deceived by my sin, and that joy and purpose in life do not originate from things of this world, but through faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to God. As I began to learn, I was compelled to repent of my sins, and I asked God for his forgiveness. God taught me through his word about salvation, that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God, without any sin, to live and teach here, to take onto himself the burden of my sin, and suffer and die on a Roman cross on my behalf. Only to rise from the dead and fulfill prophecies set forth regarding him from the Old Testament. I learned that God, through his grace alone, granted me faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that God is a forgiving God, and that I am a child of God, having been welcomed into his kingdom by a loving Father. There are no works that I can do to bring about my own salvation. This is a gift from God alone. I thank God for his many gifts to me, including my only son, Andy, and for his part in bringing me to this day. I pray that I will be obedient to God's commands, and that I may glorify him in all that I think, say, and do. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I thank Jesus Christ for such a blessing and wish to honor and glorify him by asking to be baptized in front of you today.
Thanks, Mary. That'd be great. If you haven't had the opportunity to have Mary over for dinner or coffee, I would encourage you to do that, and you will experience in her the joy that she sought in earthly things through her life from Christ. We're thankful for her son in talking to her about Christ, and we're thankful for God's son who died in her place. I don't know about you, this is kind of like being at a wedding for me since I've been married. Before I was married, go to weddings, which is kind of boring. But yeah, you guys can be dismissed and we'll follow you out in just a second. But hearing what God has done in their own lives just reminds me of what God has done in my life. And again, I'm so thankful for the instruments, a lot of whom represented in this room, that God used to draw these to himself. And that just makes me want to be an instrument. Let me give you a little bit of instructions about what we're going to do. We're going to file out through that door and follow them to the swimming pool, which is covered by a big blue canopy thing. And I tested the route this afternoon, so I think I know how to get there, but it's just straight out that back door. And you'll see a big blue tent-looking thing. We'll all go stand around that pool. And let me give you a couple instructions about those of you with kids. The kids are going to come with us. So parents, please escort your children with you to the pool. And we'd like to have the kids kind of stand in the front so that they can see, and then those who are taller can stand behind them so that we can all see what's going on there. If you're a Next Generation Ministries staff, we are going to dismiss the kids from the pool. So you teachers and Next Generation Ministries workers, be ready to receive the kids from there to go to their class. And the children will go out with us, but they won't come back with us here into the gym. When we come back into the gym, the kids will have gone with their teachers. So you parents, make sure that you have a positive handoff of your child to your teacher at the pool. Not in the pool, at the pool. And then all of us will just stand around the pool and just enjoy the picture of identification with Christ that we're about to see. So let's stand, and then we'll come back in here. You'll get more instructions. Let's stand up together and go out there.